This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast was brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we are talking about the state of the ban list in Commander and CDH. This is a topic as old as time, but has recently resurfaced a little bit amongst the community, and we got a lot to say about it.
Exactly, yeah. So let's just fire in with the reason why we kind of wanted to talk about this in the first place was because as of the day that we recorded, the previous day to the day that we recorded, so today is yesterday.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, we're all following so far. I could not be clear. Yeah. Jim from the rules committee. We all know Jim from the Spike Feeders.
We know Jim,
right? He tweeted something that kind of sparked a little bit more of this discourse. So I wanted to preface with that and read that here.
Pull up the tweet.
Trying to
like a projector.
Zoom in, but it won't let me zoom in anymore. So
because your eyes, because you can't read it.
I literally just got new frames.
Did you? Oh, not new glass, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I got new lenses.
Okay.
They're my same frames, but I got new
lenses.
Shouldn't
you be able to see super far now?
I'm still adjusting to them, so I can't figure out if my sight is worse quite yet or if it's
maybe
actually better.
All.
Yeah. Okay. But I think I'm supposed to have like 60/20 vision by the end of this, maybe. So I'm going to be able to see through the back of cards.
I was kind of hoping it'd be x-ray stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to win this tournament this weekend by looking through the backs of people's cards and knowing what's in their hand.
Seeing the reflection off of their glasses, looking at their hand, because you can see off of reflections of things.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Do you think people can see the reflection of the cards in my hand through my glasses?
Maybe. Hold these cards.
Can we test? Yeah, here. Let's take a look. Do you know what cards are in my hands?
Hold them close to your eyes.
Like an anime character.
No, like right, kind of like right, like this.
Like
no,
this.
I don't think I can see them.
No, okay.
But maybe if I had your superpower glasses, I would be able to.
Here, put these on.
Okay,
and then,
yeah.
Oh, wait, we need more glasses to figure this out, because now I don't have glasses.
You ever see that LeBron clip?
Oh, no, maybe not.
Someone gets their goggles knocked off and the glasses come fall off, and then he just like picks them up and he just goes...
That's perfect. Can you tell the cards that are in my hand?
No.
Okay.
All right.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad that we did some science testing, so now there's no ambiguity.
Great.
All right. Can we talk about Jim's tweet?
Yeah.
All right. So Jim says, sometimes people see some ambiguity in my position because of my connection to CEDH and my role on the rules committee. Spelling this out now so it's not unclear. There is zero desire in the RC rules committee to manage the format in a way that balances or curates the CEDH or tournament metas. I spent a lot of time making things less hostile towards CEDH players within the format because I think there's a home for us here. On that front, there's probably a lot more to do, but at the end state I'm pushing for is not for CEDH to be managed as a competitive format. If people want that kind of curated, competitive environment, it might be possible and it could probably be very successful, but it needs to come from within the CEDH community.
I think those are great words from Jim. I agree with a lot of what he's saying. I don't necessarily gut reaction. I don't think there needs to be a separate ban list for CDH. I've talked about this before. I don't think tournament CDH needs a separate ban list. I personally, one of the main things that I love about this format is that it's the wild, wild west. There's no fucking rules. We can play whatever we want. We're allowed to play the broken cards. We're encouraged to play the broken cards. I want to see my friends and opponents play broken magic cards. To me, that's fun. That's just interesting, fun, good magic. Is there a point when Nadu is taking 45 minutes and you go, maybe something's a little bit off here? Yes, absolutely. But when everything is roughly the same amount of broken, I don't think a ton of changes need to be made. So that's my gut reaction. What is your first thought?
That's just kind of like where we're starting from, right? And I think that this makes a lot of sense because the Rules Committee has never curated the Commander ban list for CEDH. And even though we may have gone from being like 2% of this commander players to maybe 5% of the commanders. Maybe. Yeah, if we're lucky, right? I don't think that that's going to swing the needle enough to make them go, oh, we should be banning 4 CEDH at this point. That was never the expectation from the beginning. So I'm a little bit surprised that that's the expectation now.
Can I, well, actually, you about what about Flash? When they banned Flash, a lot of people thought
that. I'm glad that we said that.
That was for CEDH. Yeah.
Well, that was a huge push from the CEDH community because of what it could do. So, for those of you who weren't around for the Flash days, what Flash does is it puts Protean Hawk into play for 2 mana, but sacrifices Protean Hawk immediately because of what Flash says on the card.
Now, before Thassa's Oracle, the piles that you would get were like Laboratory Maniac, and the Breakfast Hulk combo so you could mill your whole library or some way that you could win the game from there. Once Thassa's Oracle got printed, it meant that the combo was no longer weak to spot removal. A lot of the time you could kill the Laboratory Maniac or interrupt it with some type of removal in between, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, right?
But there is, yeah, because if you're trying to win with Laboratory Maniac, there's another point where you have to go to draw a card from your library, so you still need, like, Gitaxian Probe or, like, another mana for, like, something else, right?
I forget exactly how they finished with the Labman pile, but once Thassa's Oracle came into play, there was no longer a spot that you could kill it with spot removal. They would just win the game.
You didn't even need to, like, sacrifice Protean Hulk and then find, like, body double to get your second Protean Hulk. A lot of times, that's how complicated these lines would have to get. It was just, no, you find the...
I remember the line.
It hit
the
me.
One at the end I thought was the best was you find Thassa's Oracle, Spellseeker, Blood Pet, and then the Spellseeker went and found Demonic Consultation.
Oh, that's really easy then.
You still had to cast the Demonic Consultation, so you had to cast another spell.
Yeah.
But it was just like a basically no dead cards.
No bad cards.
There
yeah.
ended up being a way to do it without Blood Pet that even meant you don't need to cast Blood Pet, but I don't remember exactly what that was.
Because there was one that had like the breakfast combo was like this Seliphid Illusionist and then the other core card,
yeah. And that one's pretty good because there's no other spells that you cast afterwards.
It's just abilities that are going on the stack
you just have
that you
to
can
be
respond
playing white.
To. Yeah. Yeah. Which a lot of the decks were because they were Thrasios Timna at the
right.
time.
Remember when Thrasios Timna was like the deck? That was the best deck in the format.
Well,
Timna Krom, that was fucking Opus Thief. It was a weird tier 2 deck.
Spoiler alert, that might end up being the best deck in the format by the time we're done talking about the end of the episode here, but we'll see.
If the cards that many people want banned are banned, that probably will be the case.
Yeah, but again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But I do want to talk about Flash because I specifically pulled up Flash on my notes here because even though it was a ban that was heavily pushed by the CEDH community, CEDH is not in the reason for banning Flash at all.
I like that they include the reasons for banning. I feel like that's a super big help. What do they say for Flash?
Flash effectively allows players to evoke a creature in their hand for 1 and a blue. Many other formats have recognized that this mechanism that uses Flash to do this prevents meaningful interaction. Worse, because Flash's power is tied to the creatures that are being cheated into play, its power increases over time as creature designs become more powerful. So it has the Birthing Pod in Modern problem.
Yeah, it's the same similar thing that happened why Birthing Pod was banned in Modern. The reason that Wizards gave was since cards like Siege Rhino and better cards at higher powerful rates are getting printed more and more, Birthing Pod just gets better and better and better, and just it kind of becomes unchecked because the creatures are just getting better and better and better.
And again, this is because we're still continuing to make creatures more powerful than instants and sorceries, because that's where Wizards has decided is the most fun in Magic.
Yeah, so Flash was kind of just like, even in casual pods, Flash oftentimes, from what I'm gathering out of this, didn't do fun stuff, didn't do good casual fun things. It was more likely you were still maybe like flashing into Crater Hoof Behemoth or something like that and just getting the trigger. Yeah, it wasn't just CDH that was pushing for the Flash ban.
But yeah, so that's kind of why I feel like the Flash ban still supports what Jim is saying, because it's not really just curating it for CEDH. There's a bunch of reasons why Flash really shouldn't be in really any formats, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not allowed in the other formats that it otherwise would be allowed in, so I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, exactly.
But banning cards in CEDH, I don't know. The Jim kind of hints that, like, if CEDH players want this, you should do that themselves. I don't know that that is a great idea. I mentioned earlier in the beginning, I like that CEDH is the Wild Wild West. I like that we can play our broken cards, but I don't really know what, like, going out of your way to curate and banning like a tournament format, I don't know really what that would do to the format. Like, I don't know what positivity that would bring.
Because I really like where the format is at right now.
I like
too.
Playing CDH. I love where it's at.
Yeah. So like a tournament that would go, oh, hey, we're not allowing these specific cards because we're trying to try something out. Like, A, number one, it's just one tournament. So I don't know that you're actually getting enough data from that one tournament to say for sure. Like, you have to present a lot of tournaments that have the same ban list to, like, really know that this is a healthier format that we're playing.
Yeah, and tournament CDH is, like, growing so immensely right now. To have one specific tournament where certain cards are banned, I can't imagine that's going to get you more players at that tournament. If anything, it's going to get you less players, because a lot of players are just going to go, I don't want to not play Dockside. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, like, I'd rather play Dockside.
Right, yeah. So
like that
would be my fear if tournament organizers started to do that, is that your tournaments might not bring in as much people, because you're kind of like starting, you're making almost like a new format at that point.
And I thought that they were selling out. I thought that they were doing really well.
We're doing really well. So it kind of feels like a little bit of a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And some people say by their definition, it is broken. Maybe that's true. But I think what we want to be doing right now is growing CDH. We want the format to grow and see more people and have more people come in and more minds on the format, changing the format kind of just by building different decks and whatnot. It's also important to note that, like, there have been other Commander variants before. There's been Oathbreaker, and there's been
Conquest is the one that people bring up a lot more, because it is just kind of like a fixed version of CEDH, as they like to call it. There is a separate ban list. There's a lot of cards that I think are really fun that aren't allowed to be played in that format. But I think that you'll see that format has not caught on as much, whereas like the CEDH mentality of playing EDH at the maximum power with the intent to play to win, I think that that has shown that that is still the strongest way to go. And I think that, I don't know, maybe history will repeat itself. I don't know until it happens.
There's a fear, because when you branch off, you like divide the community and make people choose, do they want to do this or that? Whereas when we're in CDH, we're, I feel, still very much a part of the Commander community. We're just like a sect of Commander. It's not a separate thing. We are still Commander players at the end of the
Commander.
Day. We are
still Commander, yeah. I want to play Commander. I don't want to play, like, Commander Light.
For me, like, my philosophy when playing CDH is, like, almost identical to the Commander philosophy that they have on the website, which I think is, like, a good thing to think about when you're thinking about bans for CDH is Commander is not a regular format. It's not a vintage, a legacy. Those are bad examples. It's not a modern or standard or pioneer where, like, the intent is a good tournament balanced play. That's not the intent here. Like, the intent is big, broken, silly things.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I think that that's always, again, always been the goal of the RC, is that they're not trying to ban it like they would, like, set up the modern ban list for a good competitive play. Like, they're trying to make the format as fun as possible. And that's, like, kind of the whole point of Rule Zero. And I know a lot of people, like, try to dunk on Rule Zero all the time, but the reality is, I think that's really how Commander works and why we would be even allowed to have Commander tournaments that have separate ban lists. To me, that kind of gives the energy of those local game stores that ban some cards in Commander, like, oh,
Wrath of God is banned.
Yeah, Wrath of God is banned. Daxus Oracle's banned. Like, yeah. all the salty cards. Farewell is banned. You're not allowed to do that, right? Like, it kind of gives those kind of vibes to me, which is like, maybe there's a point where you go, well, I want to play in CEDH tournaments and this one's around, so I'm going to suck it up. And it's at least nice that we're a proxy-friendly tournament, because it would be different if, like, I spent $100 on a Dockside and I go, no, fuck that. I spent $100 on a Dockside. I want to play.
$100 right now?
I got scammed.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay. I knew it was a little pricey, but that sounded high. All right.
But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, if I'm spending a lot more money to do something, like, I want to make sure that I'm going to get my money's worth out of it, and I want to play that card. So again, if I'm proxying, that's a little bit easier, but I would still rather play those cards than not.
I agree. I think that's what people want. That's what people want more than anything, is the ability to just play their cards.
Yeah. And like you were saying, I think if you're looking for, like, a curated tournament experience, I think you should go to one of those 60 card tournaments. I think sometimes the flaws of this kind of make it a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
The flaws of CEDH kind of, like, add to the,
it's what makes
little bit
it
of a
unique
randomness.
Yeah. It's the fact that, like, yes, is Dockside too powerful? Maybe. But Dockside also allows the player in fourth seed to sometimes sneak a win, because the other three players played a bunch of mana and the player who's going fourth has a whole bunch of mana unexpectedly. Whereas otherwise, if Dockside wasn't here, I would assume that the format would even just get faster, because there's no reason to not put out all of your mana as quickly as possible, and just whoever's going first will have even more of an advantage. And in my opinion, that's the one thing that we should be, like, thinking about how to fix, is player one gets a huge advantage in CDH, like, documented higher win percentage by a lot.
We just posted a turn one win where no one else had any mana or anything in play.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, so, like, if anything, removing the player one draw a card at the beginning of the game, that's something that I would say tournament players, you should think about considering before banning whole cards. Because to me,
interesting,
that would make it a more competitive format. In 60-card formats, you don't draw on your first turn because you're going first because that's so broken. Casual Commander was made the rule that you draw a card because it's casual. Fuck it. You want to have fun. You want to make sure you
have eight cards in your hand.
Totally makes sense. But for CDH, you don't need that. You know what I mean? And that's a whole nother can of worms, though, because then you're like altering the rules for the game. So I'm not even sure if that is a good fix. But my gut says that, like, if you want to balance the format, start there. Don't start with banning cards.
You're altering the rules of a fake format, though. Yeah. Like that's the thing. Like, the multiplayer thing is kind of bullshit that the first player draws a card anyway. Like, you're just doing that because it's a multiplayer fun thing. Like, if you are trying to be competitive, I think that kind of makes sense, right?
And it's not like a huge altering of the rules of the way the Magic game is played.
It doesn't affect the cards you can play.
No, it's just kind of making it match the way that Magic has been played for 30 fucking years.
That's interesting. The other thing that I like to think of is Super Smash Brothers. Like, Super Smash Brothers was made to be a casual fighting game.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you had Mortal Kombat and all these other fighting games that had, like, these big tournament scenes that had, like, a ton of combos and stuff you could do. This was just like, nah, just beat up your favorite characters and watch them fly around on the screen, right? Yeah. But people still found a way to make that competitive. People still found the combos that you can do with characters in that game. So,
and they also, something cool about Smash, sorry to cut you off for a moment, is like they banned items from the tournament stuff, right? Like they don't use items in tournaments?
There's no items. And all of the stages are also just like the plain stages with the basic levels.
No movement. None of that shit where there's a fucking car hitting me out of nowhere.
Right?
Fuck you, stupid Nintendo.
Yeah, none of like the moving stages or anything like that, right? Like we're making it the most even level playing field, right?
And I think that kind of is an interesting comparison because I do think the current Commander ban list does do a little bit of that. It bans the Moxes and the Black Lotuses and some of the most powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And then it also bans a bunch of stuff that, to be honest, is like irrelevant to CDH. Most of the stuff on the ban list for Commander could come right off and none of it would see play in CDH. Honestly, sometimes I think Primeval Titan would not even see play in CDH. Most of the time, I think that.
I don't think it would see play in CDH.
Right? Like a 6-mana creature, like, could there be a Tatiova deck that could do something? Maybe.
Yeah,
is it going to be like a tier one? Probably not.
Probably not. No, like there are going to be a couple decks that maybe will be able to use like Gaia's Cradle and like in ways that like crop rotation is being used now. But like it's certainly not going to be as good as winning with Ad Nauseam.
Even like
I don't
Prophet
think.
Of Crufix. Like when Prophet of Crufix got banned, to me that was like the strongest fucking thing you could do in Commander.
Oh yeah, maybe certain metas that would be really good. Like when we were back in the Seedborn Muses King meta of like 2021, I feel like then Prophet of Crufix is like another thing you would have slotted right into that. But like right now, even like the Seedborn Muse decks are kind of struggling, and like Seedborn Muse isn't even seen play in a lot of the Seedborn Muse decks.
It's just an interesting dichotomy. Is that the right word? Where there's like a whole bunch of things that are too good for the format. I agree with. But there's also a whole bunch of things that are like not nearly good enough. But that kind of has to do with like their rule banning, their banning philosophy, because it's not power level.
Well, that's the thing. And as we're bringing up unbans too, like, I don't want to limit this to being like, oh, they're just going to ban the fun cards that and the powerful cards that people are complaining about. And again, we'll start talking about all those cards that people want to ban in a little bit. But I think that there's also a possibility that they could also have tournaments where they're unbanning cards too, though, and testing it. Because if we are going to have more Rule Zero tournaments, like, I feel like that's just also the natural next step.
Especially if we're doing proxies, what's to stop you from saying Black Lotus?
Black Lotus and the Moxen are in. Yeah, like, we might as well add more fast mana to the format. We might as well test out balance, especially if we are going to add more fast mana to the format. Maybe we lean on that, and we want Collector Oof to be something that people are, like, trying to play to stop people from mana, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe. For me, I think that it is fine that those cards are not allowed.
I think there's a reason why they're not allowed in Commander right now, and maybe some of them we don't need to experiment with. And a lot of them, I just think, as you kind of alluded to before, really aren't worth our time. Like, I don't think anyone's going to Coalition Victory us in CEDH. So I know that's one that people say, oh, we can unban Coalition Victory all the time. But like, if no one's going to go for it, like, I think having what something stands for on the ban list for a casual format purpose, I think something like that is exactly what we should continue to do.
Can we actually read that one line from the philosophy document where it talks about the ban list and it says that these cards are representative of things that we think that your group might not have a fun time playing, something along those lines? Do you have it?
Yes. Is it this? The following is the official ban list for the Commander games. These cards are not legal without prior agreement from other players in the game and may steer your playgroup to avoid other similar cards.
So, like, the reason why Thassa's Oracle is not on the ban list and Coalition Victory is in my opinion, Thassa's Oracle kind of is on the ban list with Coalition Victory. Coalition Victory says cards that allow you to just win the game on the spot are oftentimes viewed as not super fun, not super fulfilling, as ways to end the game of casual Commander, which is why I think a lot of casual players don't play Thassa's Oracle, because they inherently know that. So there's really no reason to swap the two out, because Commander players understand that you don't play cards that'll just win the game on the spot out of nowhere unless your group knows that's coming.
Yeah, and if that does become a problem in casual Commander, that's a casual Commander problem, not a CEDH problem, then I think that would be the appropriate time to go, okay, now let's ban the card.
Right.
And then CEDH gets to revamp the format because of that ban, as opposed to going, oh no, this card is only seeing CEDH play. 95% of people don't care. 5% of people care. Why are we catering to the 5% if, like, that piece of the pie is so large?
Are you saying that the 5% is the CDH players?
Yeah.
Like, don't bother appeasing to them.
Well, I guess maybe the way I'm saying it sounds
like negative,
like,
but
the harshest way that I could possibly be saying it, but, like, we don't necessarily need to be 100% focused on such that small of a pie. I think I'd rather that they focus on that big portion.
That's the way most people play Commander, is casually like that. I don't think they should be focusing on CDH. And like I said earlier, that's why I like CDH.
Exactly.
No one's looking. Mom and Dad aren't paying attention. I'm going to cast Lion's Eye Diamond because I can. I'm going to cast all these broken cards because I can, because that's what I like about the format. I understand not everyone does, and that's totally cool. Play Conquest. Or if you're a tournament organizer, try these ban list things. What I'm saying is, for me, I'm not interested. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not interested, yeah.
You can have a blast.
That's like all that hypothetical stuff that, like, we always talk about how, like, I don't want to fill up my brain with a bunch of, like, hypothetical bullshit stuff that, like, what could or could not happen, because it's not worth keeping in my memory.
I want to think about, should I play Orcish Bowmaster or Opposition Agent in my Sisse list? That's what I want to, I don't want to think about what would happen if one of these cards was banned, because it's not banned and that doesn't matter to me. When it is banned, then I'll think about it then. But for right now, I want to think about Orcish Bowmaster or Opposition Agent. And right now, I'll tell you what, I am thinking about Orcish Bowmaster instead of Opposition Agent.
Yeah, really? I'm kind of surprised you're not just, like, on both.
I know. Normally, in most decks, I would. Sisse is real tight for slots. I feel like Sisse has got, like, a bunch of different win conditions, and I want everything to have overlapping synergy with Sisse because it has the ability. Orcish Bowmaster is really nice because, one, if I flicker it with Emil, I can ping the table. So if we have Dockside, Emil, Infinite Treasures, use Orcish Bowmaster to flicker the table. If I'm using Sisse to lurk for legends, I can use Sisse to search for Kinnan and use my infinite mana to activate Kinnan to find Orcish Bowmaster and flicker that way. It's another line besides the Mount Doom line that can win the game. So I'm thinking about doing that. I'm not playing Draenith Magistrate or Dothi Voidwalker or any of these other cards that are just, like, generically good. And
that makes
sense. That's kind of all Opposition Agent is there for. It's just generically good.
Yeah, those to me are, like, the mid-range creatures that, like, really solidify what mid-range decks are trying to do.
And to be honest, right now, I'm kind of more afraid of, like, Gilded Drake, especially since we also just got Volatile Storm Drake.
Yeah.
And then if you take my Opposition Agent and then my whole Sisse deck is fucking shut off by my own
thing. Oh, why would you open yourself up to that
option? I'm going to fucking Tilt Town if that happens. And yes, you could copy my Orcish Bowmaster. I'm playing Mana Dorks. That could stink a little bit too.
That's a much less salty situation.
When it's my own Oppo that fucking shuts my whole deck off, fuck that.
So Vala has three toughness, right? Like, at least you still have shit that
I
you can
options.
Do around that. Yeah.
So that's what I want to fill my brain up with CDH. I don't want it to fill it as much with ban list talk, which is kind of funny because we've been talking for 26 minutes about ban stuff.
I know. Can we talk about some of these cards?
Let's talk about the specifics.
These are the cards that I think are
the strongest cards in the format.
And are on most people's mind when you're talking about what cards we would get rid of.
Right, yeah. The fun cards, the good cards.
The fun cards, the good cards, yeah. There's a lot of people that are going to roll their eyes at us when we say some of this shit, but these are cards that I love playing that I don't play in other formats as much right now.
Okay.
That I also want to play here. So I figure we start with Rhystic Study and Mystic Remora.
And realistically, and I'm not joking, I think Rhystic Study is the strongest card in the format.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
That its presence on the battlefield. Now, someone probably has got stats on this that might prove me wrong, but I would be willing to bet that having Rhystic Study in play increases your win percentage by like a crazy amount.
It is the card that I am the most excited to have early in the game. It's the card that I'm normally the most excited to draw because it means it's going to help me win the game or at least help me find more interaction to stop other players too. So like there's never a point in the game that I'm sad to see a Rhystic Study.
Yeah, I recently on the channel won a mulligan to two game. I was on Cody and I mulliganed to two, and the only reason I won is because of a Rhystic Study. Absolutely.
Exactly. That's
for
the
sure.
kind of stuff this card can do. But in a format where there's so much variance as to what can happen, I kind of want the ability to be able to come back from nothing and still win the game, right?
That's why I said Dockside is good. Same thing with Rhystic Study. It allows you to claw your way back into the game.
Yes, that and Mystic Remora kind of do the same thing. And
otherwise, it's just a race.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's just a race, right? And I think that this adds credibility to a lot of decks, too. I think that if you got rid of both Rhystic and Mystic, I think you would end up with a lot of decks that don't have card advantage in the command zone floundering and no longer being able to play in long games of CEDH.
Yeah, I agree. Basically, all the decks that don't naturally have card advantage, I think if you ban the best forms of card advantage, like all those decks drop out. Like you
exactly,
said, like, it would just
yeah.
be like Tim Necrom would remain and Sisay. I mean, I don't know. It's so fucking hard to say. A couple of cards, but I would be willing to bet commanders that don't have card advantage in the command zone become much less popular, and cards like Timna and Krom become much, much better if Rhystic Study and Mystic Remora go.
I think the ones that like are still the strongest, like Sisay, I think could still be around because there's still like a lot of intricate lines that you can have and like good stuff you can do. But like Rog'Sai is a lot harder to play, I think, in that case, because you don't have the way to come back if you run out of a bunch of gas trying to win, right? Like it's that becomes significantly more about all about your timing and not about the ability to come back. You can't come back in fast decks.
I think Rog'Sai players will often joke that it's Grixis enchantments because Underworld Breach is one of your best cards.
Yep.
If not your best card, so is Rhystic Study and Mystic Remora, some of your best cards. Necropotence, some of your best cards. And if you lose Rhystic Study, like you said, that plan B, that like failsafe of like, well, I couldn't go for it, but at least I have this Rhystic Study that can call me back in, that is completely off the table then.
An actual card that I think could be cool to unban would be Hull Breacher. Because if you actually want to punish these, you got to punish card draw by not letting them draw cards and having an answer for something like that. And maybe we need Hull Breachers that don't give you treasures.
Yeah.
Like maybe more things that are like the Spirit of the Labyrinth. What's the name of the white mana?
Can only draw one card per turn.
Exactly. Like more things like Narset Parter of Veils instead. Like I think those are going to be the better ways to combat card draw instead of just banning these cards from the format and only allowing commanders that have access to card advantage in the command zone being able to do well in CEDH.
It's hard because one of those changes is something that I would want to see more from Wizards. It's just like more cards printed that do things similar, and the tournament organizers don't really have like the power to do that. And I don't think playing more cards like Narset is a really that good of a way to fix the Rhystic Study problem. I do think Orcish Bowmaster is, though. I do think Orcish Bowmaster is a great card, probably another one that we're going to talk about, is like a way to help fight Rhystic Study world. And I know oftentimes that damage doesn't always go at the player who's drawing the cards, but I think more cards like Bowmaster are really how we help keep Rhystic Study stuff in check a little bit.
So I've started to kind of think about that the other way, where like I'm not always hitting the player that's drawing cards. It's too small of damage to that player, because the other thing I'm thinking about is we've also been talking a lot about how Sheoldred the Apocalypse is also really not that good.
So I find it a little too slow.
And people will draw the amount of cards that they need to draw to not die and then use them to either win the game already or get rid of Sheoldred and then finish drawing their deck.
Yeah, that's true. I see what you're saying about Narset. You need to wait to prevent the draw. I understand what you're saying.
That's
there.
Why
yeah.
I'm like, the tournament organizers could unban Hull Breacher, and then there's just another outlet to help against those decks that way, because Orcish Bowmaster is another card that I do have on the list, and I think this is a good time to talk about it. What I really like about Bowmaster is that it's not really a way to punish the people drawing a card. You're using the amount of card draw that's happening in the format to punish the really good creatures that they're playing. Their opposition agents that are in play, their Timnas that are in play. This is why we're not seeing so many mana dorks, and I know that that's like kind of a symptom of what happens with this format too.
But that's okay. Like, it's okay that the meta adjusts to itself.
Exactly.
That's cool and fun and interesting.
That's cool and fun, and I also think that because all of the creatures now are better than the spells, we need ways to answer creatures.
Yeah.
And I want ways to be able to answer creatures. And I think that having a way to answer creatures that naturally plays into the flow of CEDH games is a really cool thing to have.
Yeah, I completely agree. My one issue with Hellbreacher that did kind of stink is it did halt the game entirely. And not only that, its effects with wheels. If we're talking hypotheticals, I would love for something that prevented card draw not caused by you. I don't know how you word or phrase that, but that doesn't work so well with wheels, because the situation where a Hellbreacher wheel player would do that, everyone has no cards in hand, they have 21 treasures and they didn't draw super well, and then you just like draw pass for the couple turns. I understand why that game state is not one that's super preferable, if that makes sense.
I guess, but like that also happens with Notion Thief. Maybe the one toughness on Notion Thief is in there. And because we do signpost bans, I think the nature of casual is like, hey, we're not trying to do
Notion Thief stuff.
Yeah, and like stuff with Narset and wheels. Like, I feel like the whole wheel strategy plan is something we don't want to do in casual.
I do want to say, though, if you're a tournament organizer, I think you will have more success unbanning a card like the one that you just said,
Hellbreacher, yeah,
rather than banning a card like Rhystic Study, because there are definitely more people that will go, well, I have my Hellbreacher in storage. I'm going to take it out, whip the dust off, and I want to play it again. Yeah. That's more exciting than players going like, I my deck's no good without Rhystic Study. I can't even play.
Like, I can't play the best card
format.
Yeah.
I think that's a more fun way to start that process if you're going to.
Because I also think that the problem is that a lot of these cards don't have homes in other formats and aren't really being played in other formats.
No one's playing Rhystic Study.
Exactly, right? So like getting rid of these cards so that they can sit in a binder after everyone spent $45 on a Rhystic Study in their Commander collection.
That
like,
feels bad.
I think that would make a lot of casual players salty at the same time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sitting here thinking that we know better.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, Orcish Bowmaster, I still really like in the format.
I think it's very healthy for the format. Even if it doesn't always necessarily punish that player, it's still a good card in the Rhystic Study world, and we need more of that.
And we talked a lot about Dockside Extortionist already. Like, this is the main card that we've been alluding to when we've been talking about potential bans, and I think this is, quite frankly, the silliest one on this list. And not silly as in, well, of course it should be here. No, this card is the reason why so many CEDH decks exist. This card is the reason why you're kind of excited to go last in CEDH, because like you have an explosive way to come back into the game and just like win out of nowhere too.
Yeah, a lot of decks would have a very hard time without Dockside. I mean, like little ones like Korvold, no one really plays Korvold, but Korvold would cease to exist immediately.
You would have to switch to like Food Chain. Like Atali, I've been thinking about that too. If there was no Dockside, you have to switch to Food Chain, but like that's also the card that powers out Atali the best, so I feel like I would be taking apart Atali, and Atali wouldn't exist.
Even decks like Sissei. Like, Sissei probably could exist. You have the Bloom Tender lines, but Dockside just makes you, like, it increases your wins by so much.
Instead of having to, like, make sure Bloom Tender lives a whole turn cycle, right? That's not CEDH.
To be honest, the Bloom Tender making a whole turn cycle is not, that doesn't happen often. A lot of times, what happens more often, I don't know about a lot, but often I feel like I'm reanimating it with Tyvar, or I'm bringing it back with Agadeem Soul Cauldron, or I'm exiling it and giving the ability to something else, or, you know what I mean? So, like, yes, a lot of times it does die, the Bloom Tender, but I have ways to get it from the command zone and stuff like that.
Touché, sir.
Get it
Touché.
From the graveyard.
Yeah.
Also, Silvala acts as a Bloom Tender that I can search for with Sissei on the end step. But I still understand what you're saying. Without Dockside, Sissei would for sure not be the second best deck in the format.
It would guarantee I never put Magda back together either.
Absolutely,
like there's
yeah.
so many Magda lines that are just like, no, I have Dockside, now I have enough treasures where I can sacrifice it for Cursed Mirror, make a copy of Dockside, and now I have enough treasures to go get the clock and my Artifact Dwarf right there.
It just makes red playable. Like Dockside almost single-handedly, yes, Underworld Breach is very good, but like to me, Dockside makes red like playable.
It's honestly 50% of the red playable. valuable cards.
We would be like a Timna Thrasios world if it wasn't for Dockside.
Ooh, we came full circle.
We came all the way back.
But
there
we go.
If Dockside goes, Timna Thrasios, in my opinion, is the best deck right away.
Is the best deck. Now, maybe Orcish Bowmaster makes that a little bit worse, but like...
You still mold your deck to not have a ton of one toughness.
Yeah, right. You still play Deathrite Shaman. You still play the other one, Delighted Halfling. Like, there's still a lot... And you still play Mana Crypt, too, right? Yeah, there's plenty of ways you're getting Thrasios activation still.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, cradle a whole lot. So yeah, I don't think Dockside should change. I think also, like we said earlier, it's a way to bring players back into the game.
Yes.
Rustic City does that too. The games can spiral out of control very quickly.
Yes.
So having ways that are for a low amount of mana can inch you back into the game, I think are good.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, this is definitely the one that makes no sense to me to be in this part of the conversation. I think this is another thing where, like, a lot of these cards that we're talking about are really policed heavily by their own casual tables. It's been around for so long, and like, I feel like if it was harming casual so much, I feel like there'd be a lot more concern over it, but there really hasn't been. Like, I think this is really the only card that gets you back into a lot of situations. And I think if you really don't like it, then stop putting good artifacts in your deck.
You can play around it. You don't have to jam Mox Opal. You don't have to play all the talismans all the time. I think about Dockside a lot when I'm making plays in the early stages of the game. Normally, I'm balancing, do I want to think about not feeding a future Mystic Remora or Rustic Study, or do I want to not feed the Dockside Extortionist? Like, sometimes I'm just going to jam out the Mana Crypt now, just because I'm pretty sure some player mulligan to four, which means they probably kept like a turn one or turn two Rustic Study or Mystic Remora or something. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hold the Mana Crypt and then have to play it later, hang my head and give them an extra card. But the alternative is playing it early with not having anything to do. You feed the Dockside. You do have to think about those plays. But like, again, to me, that's what makes CDH fun, is like trying to play around that, trying to think about like, you know, how do I keep the Sisse player off of Dockside making five treasures? I'm going to make sure that I don't play my artifacts, or I'm going to make sure that I go out of my way to force of vigor of other players' artifacts ahead of time or something like that. That's the puzzle that's fun to fix.
And I know that there's like also the counter argument that's like, oh, it kind of homogenizes the format, because why else would we be playing 3 to 4 clones in all of our deck all the time if not everyone was playing Dockside Extortionist?
That's a metagame.
I also think that makes it fun. Like, we're playing a singleton format. If I play a bunch of clones to copy someone's Dockside Extortionist, I don't know. I think that that's kind of a fun use of a lot of the slots in my deck. And I think that is exactly as you said, that's the metagame. That's what happens when you start to metagame.
The metagame is shaped by the cards around it. That's going to happen no matter what. You can ban 1,000 cards, and eventually there's still going to be something that shapes the format. That's what metagame is.
Yeah, and I kind of like the addition of clones in my decks now, because it gives me the flexibility to, it could be mana, but like, I love copying Timnas. Like, and I love, like, Poliwag Prodigy is another card that maybe you want to be copying a lot now.
I see Obnixilus get copied a decent amount of times for some reason.
What a card to copy, right? But at the same time, I wouldn't be playing them. Maybe I would be playing Phyrexian Metamorph to still copy the One Ring potentially. But like, I wouldn't be wanting that so heavily if Dockside wasn't in the format. So like, I feel like it also kind of soft bans not only a lot of decks, but a lot of cards too.
Should we talk about other fast mana? To me, realistically, if you're going to balance a format, Mana Crypt and Soul Ring are too strong.
Yeah, I didn't put them here because I feel like that's just like kind of what CEDH is powering stuff out really quickly. But like
that's kind of what these other cards are also, is like the signposts of the format, the linchpins. Like, these are like what make the format what it is. Thassa's are, we didn't talk about Thoracle yet, but Dockside Extortionist and
Grisic Study and stuff like that.
That's what makes the format what it is. Mana Crypt is also what makes the format what it is.
And Sol Ring and Mox Diamond and like pretty much all of them, yeah.
To me, Mana Crypt is like a head above the rest. It allows you to mulligan to 3 for Mana Crypt, Command Tower, Grisic Study, and you got a better hand than most.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Sol Ring is like just behind Mana Crypt in my mind. But if you're banning on power level, Sol Ring to me is about as powerful as a Mox. That's depending on what format you're talking about, I'm sure it's very different. But in a lot of formats, Sol Ring is, I think, a lot better than a Mox. I don't know. Is that true? Like, in certain decks, Sol Ring is certainly going to be better than an extra Mox.
I feel like that's always been deck dependent, because like, I feel like I just commented on one of Modanon's tweets where he was doing a draft and he had 2 Mox and Sol Ring in a pack, in a Vintage Cube pack.
What do you pick first? Sol Ring, I think. Right.
It was like way later in the pack. It was pack 3. It was pack 3 or something.
So you knew
and
your
based
colors?
Based on their deck, my vote was Mox Sapphire over like Sol Ring and the Mox Ruby, because like sometimes it is just better just to have like an
extra color pip
for free. The freeness is what will allow you to like help power out Rhystic Study on turn one versus Sol Ring, which will like also always require you to have like another thing to it.
And we're talking about banning cards specifically with stuff like the mana. I feel like you have to think about a lot, like, what are the designated power level? What are we going for? Are we going for vintage power level? Because if we're going for vintage power level, Sol Ring and Mana Crypt probably are fine.
But they should be in there.
But if we're going for legacy power level, Sol Ring and Mana Crypt probably should not be there. If we're going for modern power level, Chromox and Mox Diamond should also not be there. You know what I mean? But what are we going for?
But like, I play this because I want to play really good stuff early, and like, I want everyone to have that ability. And when we all have that ability and we're all using that ability responsibly, like we do in CEDH, like, that's what makes it fun. Like, I don't want to slow the format down. I think the problem is if you take away the fast mana, you just have games that feel like casual commander. And if I want to play casual commander, I would just fucking play casual commander.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So Rhystic Studies, Docksides, Fast Mana, we think all those should stay.
We think all those should stay. Thassa's Oracle is another one that I feel like we've also talked about a little bit too, but I think that's also another card that props up a lot of decks to be playable, and otherwise you just have a bunch of decks that can't win the game, and now you have like blue-black commanders that no longer are in the format.
Yeah, I think Thassa's Oracle is one of the big reasons why CDH got such a push. The partners were the first reason, and people say the partners are too strong. That's what gave CDH its push. Thassa's Oracle was another huge wave where everyone was looking, especially because of Flash at the time, but having that efficient win is, like you said, super helpful. It's super helpful at getting new players into the game, because trying to teach a new player a fucking weird Sisse line or Birthing Pod line or one of these weird lines,
Time Twister loops with Swan Song, that can be so really annoying. Confusing.
Yeah, but just telling them, find Thassa's Oracle Demonic Consultation, you'll figure it out. That's a really easy way to get a player to win the game, and it's a really good way to finish the game. We need more ways to finish the game. Without Thassa's Oracle, all our games are going to be going to time, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's interactable then.
Yeah, and I know it can kind of come out from nowhere, but every color does have something that they can do to stop Thassa's Oracle. If you're that worried about losing Thassa's Oracle, you can just play those cards that get around it.
Play those cards, or play strategies that are naturally good against Thassa's Oracle, or play the players that you're playing and talk to the table and say they're on Thoracle, or everyone watch out, keep up your counter magic. There's things that you can do without just outright banning it, I think.
And as a competitive player, I like having a card that is difficult to interact with so that I can just win the game. And that like I can just kind of not have to worry about, oh, I lose to bounce removal.
It's nice to have something that is hard to interact with. That's good.
Exactly. So I don't know. I really like having Thoracle in the format. I think it is iconic enough that it should stay around.
I agree. Yeah, I like Thassa's Oracle. I think it gives our format its identity.
Drannith Magistrate is a little bit of a lesser one. But
yeah, this one needs to stay, in my opinion. This is what keeps a lot of the decks in check.
Exactly.
Like, I think Drannith Magistrate is like a necessarily little lock on the format.
There's a lot of decks that just win by casting their commander, so I think having an answer to that, I think, is also kind of nice for decks to have.
Yeah, and it's like the perfect answer for like competitive stuff. You know what I mean? It's like the one thing that is like purposefully designed for not only being really good against commanders, but also being really good against Underworld Breach. The main thing that happens in our format, it's like to ban it would be unnecessary and would unleash nonsense.
Honestly, what else is white gonna do if it's not going to stop people from doing stuff?
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the color's identity.
Yeah, so I think that one definitely needs to stay around.
Yeah,
I do have Underworld Breach on this list too.
Underworld Breach is
another major linchpin of the format, and it really is, I think, the second best way to win the game.
I mean, if Thassa's Oracle gets banned, what happens is just all the decks will just continue to rely on Underworld Breach as long as it's still around, because you can still brain freeze out your opponents and either let them draw when they have no library or win in some other way after you've milled your whole library and you can cast anything you want. I think Breach is another one that is just like a perfect fit for the format. It allows us to do the most broken, silly things. It's such a powerful, strong card. It can be interacted with enchantment removal kind of easily a lot of the times.
Graveyard interaction. Like, there's a lot of good ways to interact with it, but it's still a really great way to win the game.
Even though it is like the strongest thing to be doing, it still requires setup. It still requires a lot of actions. There's still a lot of interaction points. Yeah. And I definitely don't think that it's too strong. It's not like Nadu and Sisse and other tier one decks don't play Underworld Breach. It's not like every single deck plays it.
This is the other 50% of red in my mind. Like, Dockside was that first 50% that we talked about, and this is that other 50% now here. So I feel like if you ended up getting rid of both both of those, and we really have no reason to be in red.
You just a whole much more Timna Thrasios at that point. Nadu, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's really even just like Esper colors in general that will really be the only thing that comes out on top.
Yeah. I mean, what about, I mean, I've brought up Nadu a couple times. Should we talk about Nadu?
Nadu is the next one on the list here too.
That's definitely, if you're talking about a commander to ban, and I'm not saying that you should ban Nadu, but Nadu is the one that I'm looking at the most right now.
That's the one that is the most egregious, I would say, because it also does have a lot of like casual implications where I could see it falling the route that like Turgrid and a lot of like those kind of commanders go, where like only the strongest of strong high power EDH pods are going to end up playing it. But, and it's kind of like relegated to being out of casual.
Yeah,
basically.
I think so. I mean, the issue that this one has is not only that it's strong, but also that it fucking takes forever.
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
like this has gotten banned in the past, and I could see a tournament organizer looking to ban a card that takes 30 minutes to win the game. I could understand wanting to ban something like that.
So, okay, well, now here's my question for you. Why is this different than Kraken and Sakashima? Because
it's better. That's the only reason it's better.
That's the only reason.
The
yeah.
only reason it's better. And to me, that's less of a reason to ban it because it does wrap the game up in 20 minutes. Sometimes Kraken and Sakashima doesn't wrap the game up. It
no,
just takes 20
like,
minutes and says pass.
Yeah, I think Nadu is an easier deck to learn the combos for. And I think it's an easier deck that once you know what the combos are, you can start to like kind of go through them a little bit quicker. But like Kraken Sakashima is always going to require some sort of a dexterity component where you're either rolling a die, flipping a coin, or
the thing falls off the table, something gets knocked
hitting
over.
Something on your phone, like whatever you're doing with it, right? Like there's always going to be something like that. So why is that different than the long turns that Nadu could take?
Yeah, I mean, the only difference, like I said, is power level. Nadu is just stronger. It can do it more, faster, better, and it protects itself. Kraken Sakashima can't do that. If you try to kill the Nadu, there's another trigger, and we're going to look at another spell, and maybe it's a counter spell.
I guess. The inverse of that, though, is that Kraken Sakashima will always have the free interaction for what you're going to target it for because it will never get rid of the Fierce Guardian.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that Nadu should be banned. I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying I do see a case for it. I understand
no, yeah.
it. I
it's
get
the
it.
Combination of the power level and the turn taking.
And the time thing,
yeah. Where I guess if Kraken Sakashima also won 4 tournaments over the summer and also had a 32% conversion rate, and had
right.
like over 100 entries, then maybe that would be in the same vein.
Right.
But
I think it's too early to tell for me, although it does look like it's just like the best deck in the format.
The signs
right now
are pointing to
that
it.
That is
yeah.
just like straight up the best deck in the format.
Yeah.
And I think we need a large amount of time to see if we can self-correct. For me, I'm given all this shit like a year before I would realistically start thinking Nadu needs a band. A ban? No D at the
a
end.
A band.
Ooh,
Nadu's band. Nadu plays the guitar.
Definitely.
Because its arms are spread out, I think.
I would feel like Nadu's the lead singer, though.
You think Nadu's the lead singer? Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Sounds just like that, I feel
oh,
like.
Oh, it's Ka is, yeah, okay.
yeah.
I love where this goes so far, yeah.
yeah. I don't even remember what the fuck I was saying. But
and
I,
it wears
I,
the Shuko I, as its, like, little gloves
and microphone,
as it sings.
It has a microphone
yeah,
yeah, in
the Shuko.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think there is a good, reasonable bet that Nadu is going to be the best deck in our format for a while. I think we can try to self-correct. I think we can try to put some more Collector Oofs and Drowneth Magistrates and some more answers in our deck and see if we can. And if not, then we can start making a stink, but I'm not at a place right now where I think Nadu needs to be banned.
No, me neither. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I want at least a year of data before we actually decide that that's something that we want out of the format.
And if
so.
The RC decides not to ban Nadu, I'm also fine with that. Like, I'm also okay with that. I didn't care about Flash getting banned. I thought that was fine. Although, I look at back at that time nostalgically, it was probably better for the format that it did get banned. I'm just going to play whatever's available. I don't
yeah,
give a
right.
shit.
I'm going to play whatever's available in the EDH ban list
right.
is what I'm into.
Yeah.
In playing. Now, Ad Nauseam, I feel like, is another one of these linchpin cards then, too.
And this one you definitely can't ban. I don't know why you would.
Well, just because it's so good. Like, I feel like that would also be the next natural step.
If you're just banning good cards, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just banning the best cards.
I feel like that's just, like, another one of these linchpins that, like, it wins the game when you cast it in the decks that are built around it. There's a lot of decks that can still go through, like, dual caster mage lines pretty cleanly.
If you ban Ad Nauseam, I feel like Rockside goes away, obviously. Outside of that, the top 10 decks probably don't change because...
Oh, because that's the top 10 decks right now. Yeah, the format's slow enough. Just like Rock'Sai and Najeela, yeah.
Najeela, I guess that's another one. And Najeela would be fine without it. It doesn't
oh,
need
yeah,
it.
Najeela would do...
Yeah.
You know, Najeela sounds like it's the deck that's coming out on top out of all
yeah,
of these.
Maybe if you ban... So it's interesting. If you ban the card advantage, I feel like all the decks that don't have card advantage, they fall out. But I do feel like Kinnan would stay because it kind of has card advantage.
And I feel like
Tim Nichrom would stay.
Yeah.
Maybe Najila because of the combo potential.
And the ability to still, like, overrun. Like, I think you can still really easily go turn one Mana Dork, turn two Najila, and, like, really start to overrun the table because at this point, this whole format is significantly slower, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then if you take a Dockside, I feel like you lose, like, Sissei and then, like, a bunch of tier two and tier three decks, but not much more of, like, the tier one strategies. Magda, you lose Magda, too.
I think so, yeah. It's funny how we talked about at the beginning, we don't run the talk about like a bunch of hypothetical bullshit that
sticks in our head. If we're talking about the ban list, that's all hypothetical.
That's
kind of
what ends
up
happening. Yeah, until something actually happens, right? Trying to evaluate what's going on. But those are all the cards that I feel like are the most on the radar, like the linchpins of the format that people sometimes have words to say about.
For me personally, I like all of them and I don't want any of them banned, but I am interested for people who are listening and watching and commenting below, like what cards would you ban? And also most importantly, why? What is your goal with banning that?
That's really the biggest thing.
My fear as someone who is like involved in the CDH community is if you ban too much shit, the tournaments will lose popularity, will lose steam because players will go, I can't play my dark cards anymore, so I'm not going to go into this format. So to me, that would not be great at bringing new players in. If your reason is Nadu is so unbelievably unbearable that it's frightening new players away from the game, okay, fine, sure. But I'm curious about what other cards you're interested in banning and how you think it could like positively affect the format.
I would be interested in hearing a little bit more about that too.
Overall, I think the format's in a cool spot though. I think we got certain few decks that are good and I'm excited to keep playing.
Me too. Let's wrap this up. We're going back to positive topics starting next week.
Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Sparky V, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olin Groupy, Gecko21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Sean of the Ice, Mark Cirillo, Stormageddon, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrees, Cornell Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Volsgoto9, Kwaja A. Hamid, Lauren Connell, and Baby G-Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use our code playtowin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off your orders there.
Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
The $50 patrons are Roy Turner, Orjan, Mystic Muffin Man, Nick Saxby, Jacob Bauer, Reactive, Tyler Watson, Brian Barrington, Zachary Coulson, Tyler H, X Tyler the Tree X, Mallcraft, Driving Crooner, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Justin Man Solo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
Or listening.
I feel so out of breath.
Are you ready?
I believe so.
Great.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.